Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome on this lovely summer day. It's hot and humid, and yet at the same time, wet. For those of you who've been up to Katooma to the summer school, this is kind of what it was like, except it wasn't quite as warm. Nice and wet during the day, however. Well, we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1, and if you'd like to open that up again, and let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to gather as your family, to gather as people saved by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for those who spoke that gospel to us that we might be saved. And as we prepare to speak that wonderful message, that wonderful news to the community here at Terry Hills this week, we pray that you will clarify our thinking and our minds this morning, help us to prepare well, and give us courage to speak that others might be saved as we were. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, today we're launching our Good News Week for 2011. And what is this week all about? Well, this is a week in which we take God's message, God's news, God's gospel to this local community of ours and to our friends. If you look at verse 28, Paul says, "Wherever he went, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ." That was Paul's aim in his ministry of the gospel. And what did he proclaim? He proclaimed Jesus. That's what he means at the beginning there. We proclaim him, it says. Now, what do we say to people about the Lord Jesus? What is the message that we have to tell the people of our local community? It's very important that we understand that message. If we don't understand the message, it's going to be very hard for us to explain it to other people. Well, that's what we're going to look at today in Colossians chapter 1. It's important as we read this just to realise, of course, that Colossians chapter 1 is written to Christians about the gospel. He's addressing people who already have come to know Jesus, and he's explaining and reminding them of the gospel they heard. We, of course, over this week will be speaking to people who are not yet Christians. And so there's a slightly different verbiage that is used, but it's very clear what the message is. Now, what is it? I've summarised it under five headings: God, man, God, what if you won't, what if you will. It's got a bit of a rhyme to it. God, man, God, what if you won't, what if you will. I hope that's easy to remember. And just say it over to yourself in your mind as I'm speaking. And you might like to take some notes as I speak, because it might help you this week if you have a conversation with some person as we go into our Good News Week. So firstly, it's about God. God is the first heading. What do we tell people about God? That he is the creator and Lord of this world. God is the one who made this world, who made us as we are. And he has appointed his own Son, Jesus Christ, to rule this world. And Jesus Christ is supreme over creation. Excuse me. And so you saw last week in verse 15 that Jesus is described as the firstborn over creation. And the idea of that firstborn is that he has authority over the creation. And it goes on to say that all things, back there in verse 17, I think it is, no, 16, all things were created through him, through Jesus, and for Jesus. And so we exist because of Jesus, And the reason God made us was that so that we would live for Jesus in our lives. Now, all of that was covered last week. And so the first part of the message that we're explaining to people this week is about God, who has appointed his son Jesus as ruler of this world. The second point is about man. Look with me at verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behaviour. Now, you can see there that Paul is speaking to Christians. He said, once you were like this. We're going to be speaking to people who are not yet Christians. And so at this point, they are actually alienated from God, just as we once were. We're no better than the person who's not yet a Christian, because all of us, by nature, were alienated from God. Often we assume that, and people assume, oh, look, God will be okay with me. You know, I'm not perfect, but, you know, I try my best, and I'm not a bad person at heart. Well, the Bible says, no, it's not that way. We're not actually friends with God. Now, there are two reasons he uses to explain it. He says it's because we are enemies in our minds. He uses the word enemies. Do you see that? We might think we're okay with God, but from God's point of view, we are his enemies. And why? Because we're hostile in our minds towards God. Our whole way of thinking is about a refusal to have Jesus Christ rule our lives. We are refusing the Son of God. We're just living life to enjoy ourselves, to serve our families, to have a good time in this world. But along the way, we are rejecting in our minds the idea that God should be running our lives. Now, that way of thinking leads to, he says, evil behaviour. And I think the footnote that goes there, the footnote in your Bible, I'm not sure what letter it is in yours, after the words because of, there should be a little letter if you go down the bottom, as shown by. In other words, we're enemies in our minds, and that is shown by our evil behaviour, our unwillingness to obey in the details of our lives as we work them out day after day, week after week. Well, you might say, me, evil? That's a bit strong, isn't it? I'm an evil person. I'm doing evil. What the Bible means is that insofar as you are unwilling to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ, because God has appointed him as Lord, insofar as you do what you do from that unwillingness to submit, your actions are evil. And you do wrong in your life, you know it. We do disobey God. It may not be so much of an issue for us, we just roll on and things are okay. But let me assure you that those little things that we roll past in our lives are of great significance to God. Very serious. And so our situation is actually a very serious and dangerous one. We've made ourselves, by our way of thinking, which has led to a way of life, we've made ourselves God's enemies. And what we deserve when we meet God is to be treated as the enemies of God. What we deserve is to be rejected by him. So the first part of our message is about God. The second part is about man and our rebellion against God. The third part of the message is about God again. Because you see, God has done something in Jesus. Look with me back from last week at the end of verse 20. Well, let me read the whole of the verse. And through him, that is Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether in heaven, on earth, or things in heaven, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Do you see there? He's saying that through his death, Jesus has made peace between God and his enemies. That's us. How has he done that? Well, he's taken your evil and my evil upon himself. He's paid for that evil with his own life, dying on the cross. You see, his love for us is not a cheap love. He gave up his very life for you and for me in his love. And he paid it in full. He paid it all. And he did it all that once on the cross. He doesn't need to keep dying time after time after time. That one death was enough, and it satisfied God's anger against us fully and completely. It's all done. And so by his death we are reconciled to God. Whereas once we were enemies, now his death makes it possible for us to be friends with him. Look with me at verse 22. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Oh, friends, what good news. What a fantastic verse that is. By his death, he has brought us back to God. And he's brought us with the purpose of making us holy and without blemish. He's not talking about the fact that we now got to have a perfect life to be accepted by God. No. By Christ's death, we are now counted as holy. We are now counted as without blemish. God sees us as free from any accusations any longer. Once we were enemies, all our sins were against us. But Jesus has taken them away, and we are now free. Friends, this is what God has done in the face of our rebellion. And he calls you and he calls me to come back to him, to turn from that old hostility and that old evil way of living, and to put our trust in Jesus. You see that in verse 23. He talks about continuing in your faith. The word faith just means trust or reliance. Simply by trusting in Jesus, relying on him, turning our lives over to him trustfully, so we can have a right relationship with God. So the message we're speaking is about God, then man, and then God, who has rescued us by his Son Jesus. And he calls on us to come back to himself. Now, what if we won't obey that call? What if, hearing this news that God is calling us to put our lives under Jesus' rule and to trust his death for forgiveness, what if we'll reject that? Well, these verses don't explain it directly. But as I've already said, if a person refuses God's invitation to come, that person will remain as an enemy of God and will be treated as an enemy on the day they meet him. If you have been a person doing that, friends, you will be treated as an enemy. Not a friend. Church going won't be of any use to you. If you have been holding Jesus off, you'll be treated as an enemy and rejected by him. And you will suffer the enemy's fate. Because you see, Jesus Christ is supreme. God has appointed him as ruler of this world. That's what happens if you won't turn back to Christ. But what if you will turn back to him? Then if you will turn your lives over to him, if you will put your trust in Jesus' death for you, then you will be fully reconciled to God. You'll be treated not as an enemy, but as a loved friend of God. You'll be counted as perfect in God's sight. God will see you as holy and without blemish and free from every accusation, just as these Colossian friends were. You'll be accepted by God as his loved child. Well, friends, this is our gospel. It's about God. It's the story of man's rebellion. It's the story of God acting through his Son to reconcile us to himself. And it leaves us with a challenge to come back to Jesus. What happens if a person won't accept it? And what if they will? Now, how do I want to apply this morning? I need to ask, have you accepted and acted on this gospel? Friends, you are members of the congregation here. And how can we go out and explain and invite people to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust in him if we ourselves have not done that? You might realise this morning that I've never really turned in my life to Jesus. And I've never really trusted his death for my sins. I've been trusting in myself. I've been trusting in my religiousness and my goodness. I've not trusted only in Jesus. Now, if that is you this morning, then I wonder if you'd like to take that step. I wonder if you would like to come back into a relationship with God now. You can do that very simply. I'm going to pray a prayer right now, and it's the sort of prayer that you can pray and echo in your mind to God and put that relationship right with God. Let's pray. Dear God, I've not really or personally turned to you. The truth is that despite my religion, I've really been hostile in my mind toward you. And my life is filled with evil behaviour. I turn my life now to you and ask for your forgiveness. I thank you that Jesus died to make me right with you. By him, you can now accept me. Please help me to change and to live from now on under Jesus' rule. Amen. Now, friends, if that was your personal prayer, I want to say to you that God has heard your prayer. You've actually begun a new relationship with God, a new relationship of living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Please come and tell me if that has been the case for you today. Let me know. Let me speak to those of you who have already taken that step at some time in the past. Then I want to ask you to learn how to share this message. Memorise that simple outline, God, man, God, what if you won't, what if you will? God, man, God, what if you won't, what if you will? To help you, I've printed off a simple outline of that message on a little sheet. The photocopy is not wonderful, but it's just on a sheet at the back table, just there. Feel free, grab one of those after the service, go home, and just take a few minutes to remember it, memorise it. Put it into your head. It's not hard, it's not long, it's not complex. If you can get it into your head, you'll be able to have a conversation with someone, whether through the week or next Sunday, as we invite lots of guests to come along to church. Practice it. Find somebody you know. Have a go with each other at saying it to each other. Just another way of getting it into your head. You see, we want to make sure this week that this message gets out to the community. We want to make sure it gets out at every event that we run and every little incidental opportunity that we have. And with that in mind, please be praying for us and for yourself that we would indeed speak this wonderful life-saving message, and that we would be bold enough to say it to people, and that we would speak it, however falteringly, but that we would speak it. At the end of our passage today, in verse 29, Paul says, to this end, that is, the end of proclaiming Jesus, to this end I labour, struggling with all my energy, which so powerfully works, his energy, that is God's energy, which so powerfully works in me. Paul is engaged in a struggle. And friends, this week we're going to struggle like him to proclaim Jesus. Because it's only when God's gospel message is heard and people respond to Jesus that they are saved. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the gospel message, the message that you are creator, that we have rebelled, that you have acted in your Son to bring us back, and a message that calls upon people to turn back to Jesus and trust his death. Please help us to faithfully proclaim that message this week. Give us opportunities, please, Father, to speak incidentally, perhaps to neighbours or friends or to people in the wider community. Help us to be bold, to have the courage and to not be ashamed of Jesus, but to speak of him. Please give us the strength we need. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.